Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. We are coming to you south of the border today, so let's take a quick preview at the docket. Barry Morphew is asking for help to find his missing wife. Amber Heard gives further testimony, an update on Lacey Fletcher, and then our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, aficionados. We took a quick getaway, well, just because we had something open up on the schedule and we said, let's get the heck out of town. Here we are south of the border in an undisclosed location. But hey, let's get started. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't done so. Like the video if you do. Leave me a comment. Hit that bell so you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And always remember that you can listen to us on your favorite podcasting app simply by searching Crime Talk with Scott Reich. Now, before we get into today's docket, please support the people that support the channel. Today, Crime Talk Search.
Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did.
Okay, let's go ahead and open the docket for Friday, May 6, 2022. Well, this morning, just days before the second year anniversary of Suzanne Morphew's disappearance, Barry Morphew and his two daughters made an appearance on Good Morning America today to speak for the first time since the charges were dropped against him. You know, those pesky first-degree murder charges? That's right. Well, Mallory Morphew started off the interview by saying, "We've been silent for a long time, and we've decided that we finally want to break their silence." And Barry was sitting in between his two daughters during the interview, holding their hands, and makes the statements, "I just love the girls, and I love my wife, and I just want her to be found." Suzanne Morphew disappeared, as you know, literally 2 years ago on Mother's Day, which is coming up on Sunday, and has never been found. Now, Barry Morphew was arrested back in May of 2021 on murder charges. And then last month, prosecutors dropped the homicide charges, and the charges against Barry Morphew were dismissed without prejudice, which means the district attorney could refile them if they have some new information that would link Barry to the murders, as the DA suggests. The prosecutor said that they are close to finding Suzanne Morphew's body and that they believe that they're going to examine her body and they're going to find evidence that would be incriminate or perhaps exculpate Barry. In the interview, Mallory also said, "We just know that our dad, we know him better than anyone else, and we know that he simply is not involved in their mother's disappearance." Daughter Macy Morphew added, "It's been such an emotional roller coaster, and it's just all been very traumatizing. The family hopes to begin their healing process and focus on finding Suzanne now that the charges have been dropped." Barry Morphew's attorney, Iris Itan, claims that the authorities have completely mishandled this case, and they are planning to file a complaint against the district attorney, Linda Stanley. Now, prosecutors need to be held responsible, and they need to pay for the damages they've caused to Barry Morphew, which is frankly nearly irreparable at this point, because it's hard for anybody to believe that Barry is not who they claim he was, according to ITAN. Now, ITAN added, "If you want to honor Suzanne and you want to honor their daughters, go find Suzanne." So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The search for Suzanne continues. We'll keep a close eye as to where the search continues, both on the side of the prosecutors and the sheriff, as well as Barry Morphew and his daughters. As you may recall, it's been many, many decades now, but there are other people that went out to look for the real killer, for example, like O.J. Simpson, and he too has been unsuccessful. So we'll continue to see how those searches continue over the years. Next, Amber Heard. She took the stand in the Virginia courthouse to testify that her ex-husband, Johnny Depp, had sexually assaulted her with a liquor bottle and threatened to kill her in March of 2015 back in Australia. Now, the former couple has mostly avoided eye contact through this trial until yesterday. Heard seemed to physically shudder and look terrified as Johnny stood up during a break in the trial. Heard took a step back as court officials immediately turned towards Depp and put their hands up, warning him to stay away. Depp appeared to turn away, shrug, and then quickly smile. Heard was led to the side of the room by the court officials. Then Depp went through the rear door for a cigarette break during the 15-minute recess. Now, during Heard's testimony, Depp has been hunched over a notepad, writing notes and doodling. Now, Heard testified yesterday that in March of 2015 in Australia, Depp sexually assaulted her and threatened to kill her. Depp's defense team labeled this testimony as the performance of her life. The incident was the same one that left Depp with a severed fingertip, as he testified to. As you may recall, Johnny Depp testified that Heard threw a liquor bottle at him, which caused the finger injury. Now, Heard testified that she did not witness his fingertip being cut off at all. Heard testified as she sobbed uncontrollably, recalling the events. At some point, he's on top of me screaming, "I effing hate you. You ruined my effing life." She later says, "I'm looking in his eyes and I don't see him anymore. It wasn't him. It was black. I haven't been so scared in my life. He was looking at me. I was trying to get through to him to say in some way, it's me trying to get through to Johnny." She further testified that my head was bashing against the back of the bar and I couldn't breathe. I remember trying to get up to tell him that he was really hurting me. She stated, "I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get through to him. I couldn't get up." Her testimony goes on and she begins to explain the alleged sexual assault. She says, "I felt this pressure on my pubic bone and I could feel his arm moving. It looked like he was punching me. I could just feel the pressure. Didn't know that the bottle was inside of her, was broken," saying, "I could feel it. I didn't feel pain. I didn't feel anything." Now, Depp's teams claim that the actress' tales of abuse have been evolving with new and convenient details and a plan on exposing her lies on cross-examination. Heard also testified to Johnny's drug use, saying that during one of their fights, she saw him take 8 to 10 MDMA pills. She said that she confirmed with him how many pills he had taken, and he continued to accuse her of cheating on him with coworkers. Now, Heard added, "Johnny Depp also was on, when he's on speed, is a very different Johnny on opiates. Johnny on opiates is very different from Adderall and cocaine Johnny, which is very different from Quaalude Johnny. But I had to get good at paying attention to the different versions of Johnny." At one point, Heard said he threw her onto a ping pong table and ripped off her nightgown before assaulting her. Depp testified about this incident as well. In his version, he hadn't been drinking excessively, and Heard started the argument. He testified that she pursued him relentlessly until he hid in a bathroom. Audio recording played to the jury. Heard asked Depp about his monster mode. "Is the monster gone? Did you put him away?" she asks. Heard said that as the monster, Depp would smash things, break furniture, throw cups at her, call her a whore, turning their relationship into a never-ending fight. Now, Heard became emotional while recounting one particularly harrowing account in May of 2013 when Johnny Depp allegedly performed a non-consensual cavity search on her while looking for his drugs. The trial is now taking a week-long break, and Heard's testimony will begin on May 16th. Now, I took a lot of heat early on and said, you know, Johnny Depp has his story. Miss Heard is going to have her story. The jury is ultimately going to decide. Everybody said, Johnny is the greatest person ever. She's the worst. And I got so many people upset at me and said that, well, maybe they could both kind of be feeding this. Well, you're going to have to decide in this case, or the jurors are going to have to decide who to believe. Remember, if the jury believes that Amber Heard was the victim of one incident of domestic violence, Johnny Depp's claims fail. So, is it the performance of a lifetime by Amber Heard, Johnny, or both? Let me know in the comments below. Quick update as it relates to Lacey Fletcher. A horrific picture of the couch that Lacey died in, covered in her own excrement, was shown to a newly sworn-in grand jury in Clinton, Louisiana, during a sealed session that the media was not allowed to attend, which is quite normal for a grand jury. Well, Lacey Fletcher's emaciated body was discovered partially naked, sitting upright, and partially submerged in a hole in a couch in her parents' home back on January 3rd. Sheila Fletcher and Clay Fletcher were both arrested and indicted on second-degree murder charges for the death of their daughter. The new evidence shows Lacey's emaciated and feces-covered body buried deep into a wide hole in the couch. The items strewn all around her in the living room where she died, plus heartbreaking close-up shots of the appalling wounds that contributed to her death. The horrific images helped convince the 12 panel members to order parents Sheila and Clay Fletcher, who were church-going pillars of their community, to be charged with murder. The two were arrested shortly afterwards, but released on a $300,000 bond each. They'd only used some of that money to take care of their daughter. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Quick recap of the week. Monday, Amy Ann Harrington performed multiple ballet and Irish folk dance moves while undergoing field sobriety tests after rear-ending a vehicle in Florida. Tuesday, a woman was arrested for drunk driving and blamed her GPS for driving her down the stairs at a police station. Wednesday, Adam Smith allegedly dialed numerous random phone numbers on video calls and exposed himself to unsuspecting strangers. Yes, that is a crime. Today, a Louisiana woman who fired a shot at a male acquaintance who refused to pleasure her has pled guilty to a felony gun charge as part of a deal that spares her prison time. Anisha Speed was placed on probation for 2 years in order to perform 40 hours of community service. She will also have to pay $800 in fines and court costs and must complete an effective decision-making course, which should be required by all of our dumb criminals. That's right, a good decision-making course. They have those things. People should take advantage of them. All right, that's all we have for you today. We'll see you next week. We'll still be south of the border, but we'll bring you an episode of Crime Talk. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.